Good morning. Hope you all are doing well today. I thought it'd be a good opportunity to get on here and talk about some things that I'm just sort of noticing going on in the world. There's some changes happening, and they're actually positive changes. And the reason I want to talk about the positive changes is because there's a lot of bad news out there. But there's also a lot of good news. It's just that the bad news tends to get more coverage. And this has been something that's coming up. I feel like a lot of people recently have been talking about how, you know, whether I'm watching podcasts or listening, you can actually watch podcasts like Joe Rogan podcasts. You can watch it or listen, or both. And I feel like there's a lot of people talking about the negativity and why we're so like entrained to want the negative. And what's ironic to me is that in the talking about how we like the negative, we're only talking about it more in some regard. And I think it's good to shed a light on it, but I do think that there is a fascination. You know, I get these mail alerts on my computer, and they're like, they kind of pop up, and they're sort of, it's like the Daily Mail, that's what they're called, and different like news sources. And it's just because I got a new computer and I don't really know how to turn them off. And I will figure it out. I just haven't really spent the time. Sometimes like there's those things in life where like we know we could just sit down for 10 minutes and figure it out, but I'm just like, yeah, just erase, cancel. And every once in a while they get me with something because they share a lot of these news things. And I realize that people that, you know, that wake up every morning and read the news, you know, they're exposed to a lot of this negativity. And again, we can't hide from the negative, but I think that because our society is more prone to negative, we tend to see it more, so we feel like there's more negative. But there's a lot of good stuff out there, and I want to talk about the good stuff today. So let's going to use this as like a positivity news report. So first off, a couple of years ago, I was at an event. It was a Samsung event, and there was this guy there that I met, Brandon, and he started this thing called the Good Newspaper, and I thought it was genius and it's a brilliant thing, and he's running out of Nashville, and he basically was saying just that, like, you know, there's a lot of news that's negative, and I wanted to start a newspaper that's all about not just good news, but like how you can get involved. So sharing good news articles or positivity and things that are coming to the world, but also like what can you do? Like if there's a charity, how can you get involved or you know, help and support? And I thought that was super cool, and then we kind of just stayed in touch for a bit over the years, so you can totally go check out the Good Newspaper if you would like. But I wanted to talk about a couple things that popped up for me recently that I thought were just kind of fascinating, and there's two things specifically, two people I should say specifically that I don't know necessarily how I got to one of them. It just kind of popped up on my YouTube, and I started going down the rabbit hole, and I was like, oh, this is really interesting. And then the other one is someone that I've been following for a while and that I, you know, have a somewhat of a personal connection to. And that is the Lil Dicky Earth video. So if you don't know about Lil Dicky Earth video, so just a brief background on Lil Dicky. He is this white rapper who is a comedian and a rapper, and he makes these like, he's not a parody rapper. Like he actually, you know, considers himself a rapper, and in his songs he's rapping, but they're also typically very funny and also insightful in a lot of ways. So he had this one song that was a huge hit called Save That Money, and it was all about like kind of like turning the rap genre on its head. He was trying to create a music video where he didn't spend a dollar, but he wanted to make it look like he was balling. So at the beginning of the video, he's like knocking on rich people's doors, like, could I use your just house? We're trying to make this video for free. Could I use your house just for like an hour and just film some shots? And he's finding out ways to get like free boats and dancers and all this stuff. And that video blew up. He had a couple other viral videos before that, but that definitely blew up in a big way. And the thing about Lil Dicky is he actually went to camp with my brother and I, and my brother and him were in the same bunk. Which I found to be, you know, interesting because I don't really remember him at all. I was, you know, 3 years older and I went to camp at the same time, but I don't remember his presence, you know, and I'm sure maybe there was some bit of an interaction, but like I would not consider us friends in a regard. We did do a shoot for MTV and we hung out with him, and that was a lot of fun. He seems like a nice guy. But what was interesting to me is like I followed his career. I don't know if I honestly would have followed his career had I not had the personal connection to him, nor would I have even really heard about him or known, because that's not the style of music that I listen to. And it's not like my friends are necessarily talking about it and sharing it. But recently he started promoting this video that he was coming out with, and he wasn't really saying much. And then all of a sudden the video dropped, and it was called Earth, and it was about saving the Earth. And here's this guy who hasn't really put out music in a couple of years. His last video was a mega, like, you know, billions and billions of streams hit. But it was, you know, it was a funny, just kind of comedic, absurd thing that was just really for the purpose of just laughing and entertainment. So I, you know, didn't really think much about Lil Dicky's career outside of, okay, he's like making big moves. He's doing really well for himself. But all of a sudden he comes out with this video called Earth. And in Earth, he basically listed like 30 of the biggest celebrities, singers in the world. People like Ariana Grande, Justin Bieber, Katy Perry, like basically every gigantic pop singer almost was on this song. And they each play, it's an animated video, and they each play Earth, they each play animals. And so like Ariana Grande is a zebra. They each have just like about a line. They're only each in it for the most part, just for a couple seconds, like singing that little line. And I didn't really know where it was going to go. But I was, you know, had watched some interviews before, and he was talking about how like he just recently discovered that, you know, all these facts about climate change and the Earth, and we need to save the Earth, and we only have 12 years to like reverse things, otherwise things are going to be irreversible. He was on Ellen and some other late night shows. And I watched the video, and the video is really funny, and it's catchy, and it's like been stuck in my head for days now. I've been singing it on guitar, and you know, the chorus is, "We love the Earth, it is our planet. We love the Earth, it is our home." And then the animals are like kind of funny, like rapping about, you know, "Hi, Justin Bieber's like, hi, I'm a baboon. I'm like a man, just less advanced, and my anus is huge." So like there's this blend of comedic absurdity and then also like this driven message. And I think, if I'm assuming, and a little bit of some of the interviews I watched with Lil Dicky, is that he's doing this because he's aware that his audience is like, honestly, a lot of his stuff is kind of like grungy and kind of absurd. And like, he's like, you know, I've been doing like, you know, fart and poop jokes and all this stuff for such a long time. I wanted to do something that had meaning. And this is where I find that the whole kind of celebrity thing gets really interesting, because there's people, I think some of the most innovative people in the field, and they might not even totally realize this while they're going through it, but I think that when they can recognize it, it's a big shift. And it's this idea of using something that, you know you're good at, like, you know, he loved rapping and making people laugh. And in camp, my brother said he was always like the comedian, making everybody laugh and performing and being absurd when he was a kid. So he knew he was good at that. He knew he had this thing and this talent, and he wanted to be, you know, well-known, famous, or whatever. But somewhere along the way, he's like, okay, well, here are the things I know that make people laugh, and here's this kind of audience and this crowd that I'm attracting. And maybe that's not the most positive stuff, but I have amassed this gigantic audience. And he's like, he's a big multi superstar at this point. And how can I now use that I've grown and share that with people and share that with my audience in a way that actually might make some kind of impact? And so what I find fascinating is not just like going from, hey, I'm writing poop and fart jokes, to like, I want to save the Earth and be positive, but finding a way to blend the two. So you're not isolating your original audience while also actually creating a positive message. And he actually did a great job, because his video could have come out and, you know, there's always going to be some dislikes and bad comments, but it's pretty easy to see when a YouTube video is out. And I'm actually going to pull it up right now, and I'll tell you some of the statistics. Not that statistics matter, but this just to prove my point. So I'm going to type in Earth. And okay, it's got, in 1 week, it's got 67 million views, and it's got 5.1 million likes and 135,000 dislikes. So that's a very, very good ratio. That's like a 1 in 20 or whatever the ratio, I don't know, but whatever the ratio is, that's a very good ratio. And he could have put out this video and could have had majority of dislikes, because sometimes people do that and they try to get radically different, and people are like, who the heck is this person think they are? Why are they changing so much? Screw this. That does happen a lot. Even National Geographic has the top comment on here, just to show. So the point that I'm trying to make here is, I think he was really smart about how he took, you know, his current sense of fame and transitioned it without isolating his audience. And one of the reasons I want to talk about this too is that it's something for me that I'm always thinking about, because when I first got, and I think it was a little bit different, I can't speak for Lil Dicky, but I was conscious of sort of what I was doing along the way. But when Brothers Green started, right before Brothers Green started, I was, as I've talked a bit about before, like I was more into spirituality and mindfulness, and, you know, I had practiced Buddhism for many years and had been celibate and all these different things. And what I discovered was that, you know, there's, when I'm trying to do that kind of cooking, it just wasn't relating because people didn't fully get it yet. But I was starting to look at myself and I'm like, okay, well, here's where I am now, but where did I come from? because there's so many people out there that might share my journey, and I'm not in a place where I want to just connect to people where I'm at. I want to say, hey, who are all these people here that maybe had a similar, in some regard, life growing up as me, maybe had similar interests, you know, similar set of friends, ate similar foods, had similar kind of music interests, whatever it was. How can I help them get from the place that I was to the place that I am now? You know, going from just this kid who's, you know, addicted to fast food and doesn't eat well and doesn't really, you know, put in the time and the love to like finding this love for food and actually changing my life through, you know, eating and music and these other things. So I started looking back. And I kind of, I don't want to say in any way I ditched, you know, a lot of the mindfulness and the things that I was aware of. But what I did was I said, you know, I'm going to kind of slip this into my general vibe, but I'm not going to talk about it because I know it's going to isolate people and I know it's going to, you know, confuse them. And maybe it would connect to other people, but it just felt like the right thing. And now what I'm seeing, I'm actually putting out a video right now. I'm in the process of editing it. It will be out either Friday or Saturday, depending on when I get it finished. I'm doing this video right now that's sort of all about my philosophy around cooking and how Buddhism really changed my life in a huge way. And, you know, some people probably aren't going to like it. And some people are going to be like, what is this hippie crap, you know, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But I'm just at a place now where I really want to share the things that matter to me. And I don't want to do something because I think a mass audience is going to like it. I want to do things because, you know, they feel right to me and the people that connect to it do. And if you look at like Lil Dicky, he had a great balance of finding a way to create something massive. I mean, it's not just celebrities that are singers. Like, he also got Leonardo DiCaprio, who's like super powerful and big in the climate change world. He's in the video as well. And he obviously enrolled and excited a lot of people into his mission, and it was very positive and successful. What's interesting about my situation is I found on a smaller scale is that sometimes when I do things that are a little too out there, I do get a lot of negativity. But that's okay because I'm doing it for the people that can relate at this point. I'm not in a place anymore where I want to keep playing into the games of YouTube. And I recognize that a lot of the audience I've, you know, we've grown up with really loves and supports the things that I care about. And a lot of people don't. And they're going to share their thoughts about things and their frustrations, and that's okay because I am not in a place to judge anymore. And the truth is, I'm only judging myself. You know, it's that feeling of not feeling loved, not feeling liked. And if you think about your normal day, how often do you hear negativity about yourself? You know, we have our mind that's running, it's going and it's making all these judgments and these thoughts. And I've talked about how you kind of only really judging yourself because most people are so consumed with their own stuff that they're not really thinking about you. But then you take someone like myself who's, you know, has this platform and I'm getting constant comments, and it's a weird thing to be continually getting comments about yourself, both positive and negative, because you get to see what you really feel, you know, and the negative comments that really hurt me and upset me and get to me are the ones that I typically believe. So I need to continually work on and grow the part of myself that has that. You know, that it's kind of like a microscope. When someone says a comment and it hits home and I'm like, damn, it's not just because I'm getting so many. Yeah, there's a sense of overwhelming, like, wow, like getting so much attention in a moment. Like YouTube videos, like you spend, you know, days and weeks working on them, putting in so much time and effort and conceptualizing and shooting and editing and uploading and all this stuff. And then you put it out and you get like all this action, you know, in the first couple of days. And for the most part, then it kind of like buries down, you know, and then you're working back on the next thing. And it's like this really weird cycle. But it's a magnifying scope for me, or microscope, I should say, or magnifying either, because I get to see what people actually think. I get to have this microscope go over, and then I get to see how that makes me feel. So if someone says a comment and it really hits me in the heart, you know, and it's a negative comment, then I know that like that's something I need to look at and work on. Because to me, to grow as a human, to be vulnerable and be courageous, it actually takes like opening up to those things and looking, not just reflecting them like, oh my God, not like crying and how come you're shaming me or how come you're so mean and people on YouTube are so mean. I can go around and I can bitch about it. And I'm not saying that people shouldn't do that. But for me, what I've found is like, don't complain about it. Like, why does that hurt you? You know, what's really going on there? And why is that person maybe so hurt that they're saying those things? Because when we get negativity, it's like, man, some people really just want to bring you down. And other people want to be, you know, critical because they actually love and they care. And they want to say like, hey, like I sense this thing here. So I do appreciate the comments that make me think, which is something that I'm always kind of like working on, like how can I create videos that create real engagement that's interesting, engagement that makes me, you know, think in a new way or kind of look at something differently. But when it's just mean and hurtful, I also have to look at why I'm feeling hurt by something someone is saying while sitting on their computer in God knows where, what part of the world, and they're just writing these things and what's going on with them. So I can get curious about them, why they're saying it, and I can get curious about why it's affecting me. And I think looking at both sides tends to make things, gives me more of a sense of empathy and understanding. So the other person I want to talk about is someone who you may not know by name, but you probably heard his song. His name is Mike Posner. And I think last week I was just kind of, on YouTube and looking at some stuff. And one of his videos was recommended. And it was this guy, scraggly hair, big beard, looks like he's sort of mountain man, hasn't shaved or groomed himself in a long time. And it was him on acoustic guitar. And the song he was playing was I Took a Pill in Ibiza. And you know that song, I took a pill in Ibiza to show Avicii I was cool. And that song, you probably heard it. It's like, it's one of the biggest songs probably in the last, however many years. I think it was 3 years ago. It's one of the biggest songs ever. It's like playing all the time. And I was like, oh, this guy, this sort of hippie lumberjack dude is like covering this really popular song on acoustic guitar. And I listened to it and was like, that's a beautiful song. And, as I'm doing this, I'm realizing that he actually wrote the song. And he also was the one that performed it in like the song that we all know, the dance version. So I'm like, who is this guy? So I start looking at old videos and he looked totally different. Like when the song came out 3 years ago, he had earrings and bleached blonde hair and it was short and, he's wearing very different clothing. And I'm like, this is the same guy. Like, who is this guy? I need to know a bit about his story. So I started researching his story a bit and realizing that like he kind of went through the fame wave. Years ago, he had this big hit song and then he basically, he was super famous and blew up around the world and made a lot of money. And the song's kind of about that. Like he spent a lot of his money and like he's in the chorus, and I never knew the chorus of the song, but it's All I Know Is Sad Songs. All I know, sad songs. And when you hear it on acoustic guitar, it's like a really honest, vulnerable, sad song. He's being very specific about like, I took a pill in Ibiza to show Avicii I was cool. And then something like, and I bought a sports car and made $1 million and I spent it on women and clothes. It's like, you don't want to be just like me, never knowing why like me, so whatever the exact lyrics are. But he's just like speaking about this process, I think, of, being famous and making lots of money and kind of like the isolation that goes with that. And I was watching some interviews and hearing him talk about how he's, actually this interview right now by someone named Jay Shetty, which came out March 14th, 2019. And it's called On How Fame Ruined His Life. And it's a podcast on purpose. And I actually just started listening to it, but I listened to a couple of other things. And here's this guy who obviously had this huge amount of success and then lost it and kind of dried up. And then he ended up having an even more amount of success and kind of flying super high to having one of the biggest songs in the world and being nominated for a Grammy for it. And now he's like, the last thing I saw, he's on this walk. He's walking across America to kind of educate people, I think, on mental health. He's literally just walking from like New Jersey or something to California. And there's something shifting. And I don't want to say this hasn't been going on for a long time. There's always been periods of time, in the last 100 or however many years where there's radical people that are waking up to the matrix and kind of growing and shifting. But I feel like there's this bigger scale now where celebrities are kind of saying, you know what, screw it. Like, yeah, this is what I do. This is what you know me for. But like, I actually need to start caring. And seeing someone like Lil Dicky, who actually went out on a limb and was like, actually, we got to do this stuff. And the way he educates is like, yeah, he can speak to an audience of people that somebody else might not speak to, like Leonardo DiCaprio, who's obviously speaks to a lot of people and he's very passionate about climate change and turning around the world. However, he's not going to speak to the same audience that Lil Dicky's going to speak to. So the fact that like Lil Dicky's speaking to all these kids who are like, in high schoolers and college students, and they're getting like kind of on that wave, I think is really fascinating. And it makes me think about like, what are the different ways that us as humans can work on speaking to who we are meant to speak to. And I think there's like this, there's this idea in music where it's like, okay, I'm going to get famous on this kind of music because it's popular. And then when I have a lot of money, then I'm going to do whatever I want. And I think that is something that can happen, but I also think it's very challenging because when people get addicted to a certain level of fame, when you don't have that, it's very challenging. So I was looking through Mike Posner stuff, and I'm only speaking for my own just assumptions, which are probably completely wrong, but you know, I took a pill in Ibiza. Let's see. I took a pill in Ibiza. So if I look at this song, it's got over 1 billion views on YouTube, right? So, I'm multi-sneezer, excuse me. I didn't want to edit that out. I'm like, screw it. So this song has got over 1 billion views, right? But when you look at his other stuff, if you go to his YouTube channel, his like sort of, let's look at his, you know, one of his newest songs. Well, actually, compared to his other songs. So all his other songs, you know, he's got 79 million, 46 million, 43 million, 36 million, 19 million. These are, you know, huge, huge, huge amounts of music. He even put out, let's see, something, this Move On. So 3 months ago is probably his newest song that he put on called Move On, where he's clearly like kind of talking about how he lost his father and all the changes he's been going through. It's got 8.4 million views. So in any normal situation, any artist would die for and love to have, you know, 8.4 million views. However, when you have someone who 3 years ago had 1 billion views in a song, the amount of attention is astronomically different. Like, we're talking insane amounts of difference between the two. So if you're someone who has 1 billion views and then years later you put out something that you're really proud of and it got only 8 million views, it can be hard for people to experience that. And I can only speak from my own experience of doing videos that go super viral. When I did, you know, I'm on, again, a smaller scale, but when I did How to Live on $3 a Day, that video, you know, I think now has like 4 million views. And now when I'm putting out videos, they might only get, you know, 100,000, a couple hundred thousand views. And that's still a lot for a lot of people, but in comparison, it doesn't feel like that much. And it's like, how come this thing that I believe in and am proud of, how come less people are listening to it? Why, you know, should I be doing the things that are more viral? And to me, the answer is no, because you can actually have more impact doing something for less. You know, it's kind of the quality over quantity. And I think it's great to do things that are more viral and are more relatable or zeitgeisty and to be in that space. But very few people, if anyone, can ever hold that space for a considerable amount of time. People have their moment, you know, and then it's like, this is this big moment and people writing about it and it's all over the world. And then you can still make a living. You can still do well, but you got to understand that if you're just comparing yourself to that huge thing, you know, you're going to probably be stuck and probably be just chasing for it. And it might seem like this is far-fetched, this whole podcast, for someone who's not in that space and doesn't interest in fame and all these things. But, you know, there's no difference. There's no number. I've said this before, right? I gotta say it again. There's no number, whether it's for subscribers or how much money you have or how many friends, that's ever going to bring you any kind of happiness. You know, I always had the same kind of pattern for whatever reason. It's like when I went to college, I right away made so many friends. Like, I was just going out, so sociable. And I'm funny because I can be introverted or I can be extroverted, and I can be someone who's like very shy and weird, or I can become friends with everyone and be completely shameless. And it really depends on, you know, my mood and the situation, all these different things. In college, when I started, I was making friends with everybody. I'd go from like dorm to dorm and just like dressed up absurd. I'd wear like a wrestling singlet and just knock on people's doors and be like, hey, what's going on? I'm so-and-so. How you doing? Just to like just trip people out, you know, and break the ice. Because if I show up in a tight wrestling singlet, you know, and out of nowhere, it's like, it's not just like some random dude just knocking on the door. It's like, what the heck is going on? You know, wearing a weird hat or something. So I started out in college making lots of friends. But by the end, when I graduated, I had a few close friends, few people that I really cared about, that I really put in a lot of time and effort to, you know, creating deep relationships with. And the exact same thing happened in New York City. When I first came, I was meeting everybody, being social, making so many friends. When I left New York City, my friend group was considerably less because it was more about the quality of those bonds. And this is the sort of idea I'm trying to get at here is, you know, the number is the illusion, and you will always be sad and disappointed if you're looking at the number, whether it's how many friends you have or how much money or even how much fame or whatever. But when you actually look around and think about the things that you're doing, and if you feel good about what you're doing, and it's a never-ending search to find those things, but if you feel grateful and good about what you're doing in the world, you know, and you feel good about the one friend, the two or the three, however many friends you have, you feel good about those relationships, it's so much more valuable than, yeah, you could have 25 friends, or now it's like Facebook. It's like, I have 5,000 friends on Facebook. You know, you could feel good about that number, or you could say, you know what, I've got a couple friends that really care about me, and that is priceless. Or, you know, I have enough money to feed myself, you know, or feed my family and have a roof over my head, you know, or have the basic things that I need. And that is priceless, you know, because no matter how much money you have, money has nothing to do with happiness, nothing, zero. And the reason I say that is because there's no specific number. There's no proven scientific whatever formula that says, hey, if you have this much money, you're guaranteed to be happy. Because there are people that have nothing that are more happy than people that are billionaires. And reverse, there are people that are billionaires who are extremely happy, who are way happy than people that have nothing. You know, it's like what you do with the situation that you're in. And that's what this is all about right now. You know, you can always change, you can always reinvent yourself, but what are you doing in this moment with the situation that you're in to bring happiness into your life, to bring joy into your life, to bring joy into the life of the people that you love, that you care about? How can you elevate your life regardless of what's going on? And if you have a message to share, how can you get that message out without worrying about what people might think or what they're gonna say? You know, and maybe that means, you know, looking back at your life and looking at the people that are going to relate to what you have to say, not trying to appeal to everyone. No one can appeal to everyone. Even the most relatable, universal people don't appeal to every single person. And that's okay. It's not about that. It's about finding people that, you know, are inspired by what you say. Maybe they don't know what you're talking about right away, but they feel something, you know? It's like if you're someone actually who listened to the podcast who I did a tarot reading with, she was really excited about doing a YouTube channel, and she worked up the courage and she made her first video and she sent it to me yesterday, and it was like, it was great. And, you know, one thing I was thinking about is like, you know, to release something and to really share something in your life, it takes a lot of courage, you know, but you realize that when, at least I can say, I realized that when I actually can step into that space, you know, that vulnerability and do something and share it with the world, well, then I'm just kind of saying to the world, you know what, I'm ready to share this part of myself. I don't know who's going to listen. I don't know who's going to watch. When you share, imagine sharing your first YouTube video, your first podcast, your first song. You have maybe some family members, some friends, some people that might listen to it. No, yeah, it's good or whatever, but you don't know when you put yourself out there who's going to listen to it, who's going to like it, who's not going to like it. But it's that vulnerability where you're actually saying, you know what, this is something I'm excited about. This is something that I want to do. This is something that I want to share with the world. And in sharing with the world and by opening myself up to it, there's going to be a huge shift. And I want to do this because I believe that I have something to share and people are going to relate. And it doesn't matter who relates, because people will relate. People will find it and be like, you know what, I really appreciate that. And it sometimes just takes one person who believes in you. You know, and you're not ever going to know that unless you actually put yourself out there. And maybe you fail. You know, maybe people hate what you do, and maybe everyone unanimously hates it, but who cares? Because you did it. And the people that hate are usually the ones that don't do anything. It's easy to hate from the sidelines. I think I used to go to football games all the time. I don't really watch sports anymore. I used to be obsessed with football. And it used to kind of irk the crap out of me that people who, you know, you get this huge stadium filled with people who are mostly drunk, yelling and shouting at the team, and, you know, the quarterback throws a pass to the wide receiver, and the receiver drops it, and everyone's like, how could he, the idiot, like, the hit was right there. And it's like, you've got a beer belly, you know, you're drinking booze, you're eating french fries and stuff, and you're yelling at this athlete who's like one of the best athletes in the world for dropping a pass when you're just sitting on the sidelines just yelling. It's easy to be on the sidelines, and that's what most commenting is. It's people on the sidelines of life looking at other people's stuff, reviewing it. That's why, like, I used to just get so frustrated by critics, and now I've come to appreciate it, and I don't get frustrated. I get why they're there, but I used to get so frustrated when I would love an album and it would get crapped on by some critic who's literally just sitting there listening to the album, and someone spent a year or years of their life writing this music and doing their best, and all of a sudden someone who just listens and has a, you know, a voice and writes stuff decides to just tear it down. It's like, that used to bother me so much, and now I'm like, I get it all. But you could spend your life living on the sidelines and critiquing people and arguing and all these things, or you could actually get out there and be vulnerable. And you know what? Then you might actually see and have some empathy or sympathy for what it's like for people that create, you know? It took me a long time to realize that until I really started getting to that position where it's like, oh wow, I have so much more empathy for anyone that puts themselves out there because I know what it's like. And I know the depression that comes with it. I know the isolation, you know, but I'm not here to like sit and complain about it because I think it's a beautiful thing that I get to share the things that are in my heart with people. And also open up to, you know what, if you got negativity, share it. I want other opinions. You know, my request is that it's constructive and it's not just like, you suck, you chubby Jew or whatever. Like, I get stuff like that. And it's like, okay, that's just kind of funny to me at this point. I do prefer, you know, criticism that is helpful, constructive. But I'll take it all, because when you put yourself out there, you got to be open to it all. And you got to realize that, you know, what you feel about yourself is going to trump everything. There's no comment. There's no thing someone can actually say to make you feel anything unless you feel it about yourself. And this goes for anything in life. You know, if you really believe it, if you really feel it, you know, that's not a place to look. It's a good place to start. So maybe something you can do today is think about, what is the message in the world that you want to share? And what might be holding you back from it? You know, and really what's holding you back? Is it the fear of judgment? Is it the fear of failure? Is it lack of motivation? You know, is it someone told you you can't do it years ago, so you're just not doing it? Whatever it is, I want you to take some time to think about it. And think about how you can actually start to love that part of yourself so you can share your magic with the world. Thank you all so much for listening. If you do want to give me a little bit of a 5-star or whatever on iTunes, all that stuff, you know, I would appreciate that. I'm always happy to spread this. But either way, I hope you have a great day. Peace out.